The following is a message from the pulpit of Parkside Baptist Church in Mesquite, Texas, led by Pastor Mike Wells.
Take your Bible, please, and go back, if you will, to the book of Mark, chapter 11. Look at verse 22, and I'm going to give you some explanation. The Bible says, "And Jesus answering saith unto them," it says, "have faith in God." If you'll read down in verse 23, he says that if you have faith and you don't doubt, he said the mountain could be removed and cast into the sea. Verse 24 specifically, let me read this one here. It says, "Therefore I say unto you, what things soever ye desire when ye pray, believe that ye shall receive them, and ye shall have them." There's something about having faith in God. Now, may I say, whether it's in a remodel program, a building program, a business adventure, or your personal life, your faith is important. Because to the degree that you have faith in God is the degree that God will bless you when that faith is executed. So I want to speak for a few minutes on have faith in God. There was a man that climbed a large hill in South Eastern France. Somebody said, if you climb to the top of the hill, you'll be able to see the Alps, but you got to climb to the top of the hill. He took that long, exhausting climb to the top of the hill, and he was looking over, and with his guide, he said, "I can't see the top of the mountain." And the guide said, "It's because you're not looking up." And he looked up, and he saw the peaks of the Alps. You know, it is very important that as we live in our Christian life that we always stretch our faith to be able to see greater things that God could do. Now, that is in your individual life too. You know, as you step out to be obedient to the Lord, sometimes if you're not careful, you can look at the surrounding circumstances and get down. You can look at the things that are happening about you and become almost in despair. Here's what the Bible says. Psalm 121, verse 1. The Bible says, "I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help." Verse 2. "My help cometh from the Lord, which made the heaven and earth. He will not suffer my foot to be moved. He keepeth thee, will not slumber." And so he said this, it doesn't matter what you're facing in your life. He said, here's what you do. If you simply learn to look up. Don't look in. When you look in, sometimes you'll make a decision based, if you will, please, on how you feel at the moment. Don't look out, because there's a lot of people that's out that may not be serving God or serving God to a lesser degree than you have a desire to serve yourself. But when you look up, how is it that we can look up? What can we do to increase our faith? Well, the Bible says in the book of Romans, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And so as we hear the word of God, God will begin to encourage us and be able to stretch our faith. Years ago, there were some visitors that went to a national mint. They went to the National Mint, and one of the guides that was taking them through the mint said, you know, there's something about us being able to melt down some of the hottest metals that ever existed that you need to know. Let's say that you're getting ready to touch one of these metals. He said, I can show you how if I was to take the metal that's completely melted down and pour it on your hand, it would not burn you. How many be willing to trust me on that? Nobody raised their hand. He began to explain, if you take your hand and you put it in water, hold it in water for a while so that the water, of course, will drip off of your hands. He said, I can take any metal at that time, heat it to the greatest capacity, pour it on the hand, and it'll just run off, but it won't burn your hand. How many be willing to do that? He stepped up to a man and he said, sir, would you be willing to do that? He said, well, I don't think so, though I do believe that you're telling the truth. His wife, standing beside him, said, not only do I believe you're telling the truth, I'll trust you. I'll trust you. She went over, she put her hand in the water. He took the hottest metal, poured it on her hand, and it just went off the hand without burning the hand. Now, wait a minute. That is what was said. Hello. Hey, preacher, I'm going to go home and try it. Good. You go ahead. Okay. But there's a difference between believing in something and actually trusting in. There's a difference. There's a difference. I have a greater faith in, okay, one day. Here we go. One day, Brother Palmore says, I want you to know, I've got it down. I've got it down. There's a cliff out here. I've got one of those wheelbarrows that the rubber is taken off. The wheel is taken off. It just has the metal inside. And so here's what we're going to do. Preacher, you can trust me. I've already taken across 2 loads of bricks. Hey, I've stayed on the rope. The wheelbarrow has not fallen off. I love you, preacher. I'm not going to let you down. You can trust me. You can trust me. If you'll just get in the wheelbarrow, I'll push you across the rope. We'll make it to the other side. It'll be okay. And I'll say, I do trust you. I do love you. Brother Jonathan, get in the wheelbarrow. Okay? Now, wait a minute. Watch this, if you will. So we all have different degrees of trust, don't we? We do. When Jonathan, my oldest son here, it's on staff, when he was a young guy, we lived in Kenner, Louisiana, for a short amount of time in our life, right outside of New Orleans. He's a little guy. And I put him on the counter there. I said, jump, I'll catch you. So he did. He leaped in the air like he had mighty power, and he went coming across, and I caught him. And, you know, I thought, man, I'm building his confidence. And so I put him back on the shelf there, on the counter. I moved back a little bit farther. I said, jump, I'm going to catch you. Oh, with great vigor, he leaped into the air, dove forward. I caught him just like a dad should. I moved back a little bit farther. I said, okay, let's do it again. Jump. He leaped into the air, flew through the air, barely made it to me. I went down for a dive. I caught him, hero of the hour. I moved back a little bit farther. I said, jump. He said, uh-uh. I said, no, really, jump. I'm going to catch you. He said, Okay, what happened was the fact of I barely caught him the last time. He evaluated it, and he said, I don't think I'm going to take a chance on this time. Now, may I say, David said, once I was young, and now I'm old. He said, I've never seen God's people forsaken or their seed begging for bread. Man may let you down. Can I get an amen? But God will never let you down. God will never let you down. You know, man can say this and it fails, but God says this and it succeeds every time. And let me give you some history, if I may, to kind of encourage your heart just about trusting God in your individual life. Statement number one, he did not fail the men in the olden days. He did not fail the men in the olden days. In the book of Hebrews chapter 11, here's what you see. 25 times in that chapter alone, he uses the word faith. So 25 times in that one chapter alone, Hebrews chapter 11, he uses the word faith. In that one chapter alone, 17 times, he mentions different people that used faith. A couple of those is this. Abraham worshiped by faith. Enoch walked by faith. Noah, you witnessed his faith. Abraham was wandering, if you would please, but yet still going the right direction by faith. Sarah waited by faith. Moses worked by faith. And so you'll see many others that are listed there, and you'll find out that all these men and all these different ladies, if you would, that stepped out by faith, God never forsook them. Isn't it good to know in your Bible where he says that he's a friend that sticketh closer than a brother? Isn't it good to know in your Bible where he says, I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee? I don't know what you're going through in your life, but I promise you, God is bigger than your problem. I don't know what distresses you face in your life, but I promise you, God can overcome and help you with every single distress that's in your life. There's Elijah. Elijah was the one that put the wood around the altar. He was the one that piled stone, sacrifice, if you would, and then put it on the altar, prayed, and fire came down from heaven. There was another time he prayed, and the rain came down from heaven. Same man, same God. May I tell you, there's the same God today. God's just looking for some men. God's still looking for some ladies. There was Daniel. Daniel was a young man of great faith. He faced his enemy, wound up in the lion's den. In our Bible college, we have a Bible college here where we train young people to go out into the world to start churches, be missionaries. And so we have a Bible college. Young people are coming from different parts of our nation to come here to Bible college, and we're very proud of them. They're serving in the other building, most of them this morning. I preached there on Friday how there was Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. How that which was Nebuchadnezzar heated up the furnace. The Bible says seven times, or seven times more than it was before. Wait a minute. Heated it up. He got some robust men out of his army. What did they do? They bound these men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, threw them into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. The Bible says that they fell down. They fell down. So when you're going through the fires in your life, you may fall down. But my Bible says a just man falleth down and riseth up again. And so you may fall down. Hey, don't beat yourself up when you go through a rough time and you fall down. You may fall. Hey, don't beat yourself up so much when all of a sudden you fail. And hey, you can get back up again. You can go forward again. But preacher, I failed and I just feel like a miserable failure. Don't we all feel that way when we fail? Don't we all feel that way when we all of a sudden mess up? But I'm telling you, you got a God in the Bible that can help you to rise to your feet. He did not fail the old men. He will not fail the young men. He did not fail those in the Old Testament, didn't fail those in the New Testament. Got news for you. His testimony is true through and through, and he'll not fail you. Here's what we understand. We understand there was that time in Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego's life where the Bible says they were tossed into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. They fell down. But all of a sudden, Nebuchadnezzar the king, when he looked in, he didn't see one man. He didn't see two men. He didn't see three men. He looked in, he saw four men. And the Bible says that the fourth was likened unto the Son of God. Make no mistake, friend, when you go through the fire, the Son of God is not going to forsake you. He's not going to walk out on you. He's not going to turn his back on you. He's not ashamed of you. He is there beside you. Even though you're tossed in the fiery furnace, he is there with you. And if you'll stay where God puts you, I promise you, it'll be a testimony and an attribute to that which is the power and the demonstration of a Holy God in your life. Here's what we understand. We understand that he did not fail the old men, or the men, if you would please, in the olden days. Statement number two, he is able to do the same today. Well, you know, that was Old Testament. My Bible says that he's the same yesterday. You got to believe it. He's the same yesterday, today, are you ready? And forever. He said, I am the Lord thy God. He said it. I didn't say it. The Creator God said it. He said, I am the Lord thy God. I change not. That's what he said. The problem is not with God. The problem is with God's kids. Well, God, I'll trust you for this one, but I won't trust you for this one. God, I have enough faith to believe you for this, but I don't have enough faith to believe you for this. The story of Peter Cartwright many years ago, I've told it three times in our church. It's time number four. Peter Cartwright was a circuit riding preacher. Just finished preaching in a nearby town. The next time he was supposed to preach was the next morning. He thought, I'm going to ride to the town tonight. He took time. He rode to the town. In the middle of the ride, he came across a huge type of lake, and he thought, man, I'm thirsty. I'm going to stop. My horse needs a break. We'll take a break. He stopped. He went over. He sat underneath an oak tree. His horse was over there watering. Kind of fell asleep. Woke up, and he noticed that there was a big old grizzly bear in between him and the horse over by the water. And so he thought, I'm in trouble. I'm a great distance from the town I'm supposed to go to. If the horse gets killed, I'll never get there. I'm in trouble. So earnestly did he begin to pray. He said, God, please remove the bear. Get rid of the bear. Earnestly, don't let the bear kill my horse. Earnestly, he poured his heart out to God. He prayed and prayed and prayed, opened his eyes. Bear's gone. Boy, begin to rejoice. Got on the horse, rode it off speedily, just in case the bear would come back. Gets on the horse, goes to the next town. Tired, weary, wore out, long ride. Checks into the hotel, gets into the hotel, goes up, gets his room, lays down. All of a sudden, mosquito decides to fellowship with him. Mosquito comes in, says, I like your blood. Let's fellowship. So they were fellowshipping around the table. All of a sudden, he kept swatting the mosquito as he laid in the bed. He swatted it. History says he swatted it for an hour, didn't give up. Swatted it for 2 hours, didn't give up. Swatted it for 3, 4, 5, 6 hours. The sun is coming up. As the sun comes up, he goes over, looks in the mirror, sees the blood-stained eyeballs from not getting any sleep that night, and begin to chuckle. He said, I had enough faith to trust God to remove the bear, but I didn't have enough faith to trust God to remove the mosquito. Well, isn't that the way it is? You know, we still serve a God today that can answer prayers just like he did years ago. May I say, the Bible says here, Mark chapter 11 and verse 22, as we read a moment ago, it says, and Jesus answering and said unto them, have faith in God. In other words, put your faith in the right person. There's some people, believe it or not, that believe in baptism, what we call baptism regeneration. Here's what they believe, though it's a falsehood. They believe if you get baptized, you're going to go to heaven. If you get dunked in the baptismal pool, God's going to wash away your sin. All right, let's take it and consider it. Let's say it's true. So all of a sudden you go to the baptistry and you get baptized and God washes away your sin. And we let the baptismal water out. Goes back to the pasture, and the cow eats the grass that was watered by the baptistry water. And the cow gives milk. And you drink the milk. You got your sin all over again. Somebody says, well, I tell you what, I believe that the way to go to heaven is to be baptized. Matter of fact, every time I sin, I need to be rebaptized. Safest place for you to live is on a floaty in the baptistry. My Bible says, listen to it. Jesus is speaking. He said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. There's not two ways to heaven, three ways to heaven, or four ways to heaven. There's one way to heaven, friend. That is Jesus Christ and Christ alone. Now, you can take great courage in that because the Bible says, he that hath the Son hath everlasting life. So once you receive Jesus as your Savior, it is done forever. Forever. Well, preacher, I think I've got to get saved over and over and over again. I mean, sin, got to get saved. Sin, got to get saved. I think it's taking it away from what the Bible teaching says. My Bible says you must be born again. It's not a perpetual state of being. Doesn't say you must be born again and again and again and again and again. No, it's one time, born again. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the spirit is spirit. Ye must be born again. But there's good people out there, Pastor, that believe that you need to work your way to heaven. Well, my Bible says, for by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. So you don't get to heaven by works. You don't get to heaven by baptism. You don't get to heaven by being good. You get to heaven through the only one that can give eternal life. The only one that can give eternal life is Jesus Christ, the only begotten of the Father. So when I receive Jesus Christ as my Savior, hey, guess what? Am I going to be a perfect person? No, I'll be just like you. We're all sinners. But wait a minute, I'm a redeemed sinner. What does that mean? That means I'm walking along one day and I see Jonathan in a wheelbarrow being pushed across a narrow rope by my other assistant pastor, and all of a sudden Jonathan falls out of the wheelbarrow and I have a heart attack seeing that he falls 3 foot to the ground. And I have a heart attack and I die. My Bible says for the child of God to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Hey, so once a child of God, hey, take great courage in this, because once a child of God dies, if you're saved, you're saved forevermore. If you're going to go to heaven now, you're going to go to heaven then. Once you receive Christ as Savior, you are saved forever. By the way, I wouldn't attend church that did not teach and preach that. Come on. Now, don't get mad at me. We've had fun up until this time. But I would not attend church. My Bible says that he saves those from the foolish by the foolishness of preaching. Now, look, I'm an old-fashioned preacher. Now, I'm in a young body. I'm only 52. In February, I'll be 53. Following February after that, 54. Stop whistling. But I feel relatively young. Now, wait a minute. Watch this, if you will. But our church will never be a church as long as I'm pastor, where all of a sudden, you have a pastor that sits down, and we come together for the reading of the scripture. And we're going to study today. Now, by the way, we do have Bible study here. I'm not making fun of that. The Bible says that a pastor should also be apt to teach. That is one of the qualifications of a pastor. In other words, if a pastor, all he can ever do is get up behind the pulpit and shout. And all he can ever do is get up behind the pulpit and raise his voice and, you know, the pillars shake and the people run. Then, you know, he's not doing his job. He's also supposed to be a teacher. And so on Wednesday nights, we have a Bible study. You say, well, I don't like your preaching. You yell and you shake the pulpit and you hit that thing and whoo! All right, come back on Wednesday night. It's more sedate. I pass out an outline. I teach it. People take notes. They smile at me. They take it home. Hey, that's a part of it. That is a part of it. But here's what we see in the Bible. We see this. We see that there has to be something. Oh, okay, come on. You ready? All right, look, you're my church family. I can say whatever I want to, right? There has to come a time in your life where you get excited about something. Now, I'm sorry. We're in the Dallas Metro. Don't get mad at me. But why in the world do not preachers preach the way they used to preach? Now, I'm not mad at anybody. I don't have a bone to pick. I don't have a horse in the race. I don't even know the horse. But I'm saying, what changed America? Was years ago when men of God got up. And then young men would sit in the pew and they would say, man, I want that. I want that. And preachers would get up and they would challenge people and they would preach. And young men, their faith was challenged and they would step out and they would say, that's the type of faith I want. And they got out and they prayed and they went soul winning and they passed out gospel tracts and God changed the nation. Now he's not dead. Now, if that be true, then let's get back to that which is old-fashioned preaching. Let's get back to old-fashioned believing. Let's get back to being what we're supposed to be so that God could work again. Now, I'm saying this. I'm saying that he did it. He did not fail the men of the old days. Statement number one. Statement number two. He's able to do the same today. He's George Mueller. He had that orphanage in Briscoe many years ago. Him and Charles Haddon Spurgeon were, you know, call them pen pals or whatever, but they wrote each other a lot. I went over to the Liberty Library in Missouri where they have what they call Spurgeon's Dungeon. And it's on the Liberty campus there. And I went down into the dungeon and you could see letters that that George Mueller and Spurgeon wrote each other. And Fanny Crosby and Spurgeon wrote each other, and be able to see the dialogue between the two. Now, these were people of great faith. Say what you want to. These were people of great faith. Now, I'm saying this. Mueller one day reread the scriptures where it says, what things soever you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them. And so here's what he did. He'd get down, he'd pray, and he said, dear God, I pray that you would give me this, and then he would get up and he would doubt it. So he said, I'm going to change the way I pray. From now on, when I pray and I ask God for something, I'm going to thank him. Because my Bible says if you just believe, then he's going to give it to you. That's God's word. So why should I doubt God? Why should I doubt God? So when I pray, I'm going to thank God for giving it to me. Because I believed him that he would. That's like somebody not believing. Dear God, I pray you hold back the rain. Hey, honey, on the way out, get the umbrella. Hello? You know, we're saying we believe it, but then we don't practice like we believe it. See, there's got to be a generation that will rise up and put their faith back in God. And I'm telling you that that same God is the same as he was before. I remember first time I had a Bible. I got saved when I was 18 years old. I didn't have a Bible. And so I prayed and said, God, would you please give me a Bible? And I still have it today, by the way. Still have it today. It's an old brown Bible, Scofield Bible. I mean, the outside of the leather is hardened. I mean, it's real hard. And, you know, it's real brittle. All the pages are brittle, you know. But I remember having that Bible as a teenager, reading that Bible. And I remember how God gave me that Bible. And that was my first answer to prayer. And I can always look at that Bible and say, I remember when I was 18, I prayed for that, and you gave me that. I remember when I was in high school, I had a burden. I attended a public high school, and I had a burden for my fellow students to receive Christ. And I remember starting a Bible club in the morning time and that thing growing to 80 or 90 teenagers that was coming. And I told this in one of my classes, how over at the chapel or over at the college where I teach. And I said, you know, back in those days, I didn't know nothing about the Bible, nothing. So I go to my preacher and I say, preacher, would you help me? And my preacher would help me to prepare. Then I would take and they would have questions. They would raise their hand, these students, fellow students, would raise their hand, they ask a Bible question. Well, I didn't know anything. But I was smart enough to say, that's a great question. Tell you what, I'll have the answer for you next week. So now I go to my pastor and say, what's the answer to this? He'd give me the answer, I'd tell him what it was, and they thought I was a theologian. They thought, man, this guy's so smart. When I went to Bible college, I didn't go to Bible college to be a preacher. I went to the Bible college because I wanted to learn more Bible because I felt like I'm going to have to give more answers in life that I don't know. So that was the reason I went to the Bible school. Now, I say, when I was in Bible school, everybody showed up in suits. I didn't have a suit. I just finished working a rodeo in Millers, Maryland. Yes, they do have horses in Maryland. And I worked the rodeo. I showed up at Bible College, flannel shirt, blue jeans, cowboy boots, and a cowboy hat, and I showed up at Bible College. When I showed up at Bible College, they said, oh, yeah, we know where you want to go. You want to go down to the rescue mission. I thought, okay, I guess that's where you get in. I never heard of a rescue mission before. You know, I did go to Bible College to get rescued, so I thought, okay, that's the way you get in. You go through this mission thing. They had a young man, clean-cut looking guy. I got in the car. It took me down to the rescue mission. I looked out there, all these different people. I mean, different than me. And so I looked out there and I thought, okay, I guess I don't fit here. I don't think this is where I'm supposed to get in Bible College. So I said, take me back. I went back. They let me in by faith. I didn't have any money. I traveled 26 hours on a Greyhound bus. I had no idea what I was doing. All I knew is God wanted me to go to school where I learned more. And I showed up, had one bag to my name, blue jeans, flannel shirt, cowboy hat, and stained boots from working a rodeo that probably still smelt like the last rodeo. And I went to Bible College. Now, wait a minute. When I went to Bible College, God used that to stretch my faith. Hello? Because I stepped out and I trusted a holy God. And some of you are here today and you know what I'm talking about. You've been down the road of trusting God. You've been down the road of praying. And if God did not come through, you knew that you were through. You've been down the road of walking down the lonely path. And it seems like everybody has turned their back on you. And then all of a sudden, you get a hold of the horns of the altar. And you begin to pray. And God changes things. That's who God is. I said, statement number one. He did not fail the men of the old days. Statement number two, he will not fail you today. Statement number three, he will take care of your future. He will take care of your future. There was a girl that was a Salvation Army. She got saved at a Salvation Army, one of those places where years ago they used to preach the gospel. And she got saved. She said, I don't know what's in my future. All I know is that the Lord is in me. And since he is in me, I have a bright future. And may I say that's the way it ought to be. Someone said this, worry is interest that we pay on trouble before it's due. Worry is interest paid on trouble before it's due. The Bible says in Psalm 37 and verse 5, the Bible says, commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. The Bible says in Psalm 37 and verse 25, he says, David, as I quoted a little bit ago, he said, I have been young and now I'm old, yet I'm not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging for bread. Somebody said the acrostics of faith is this. This is what it says. The acrostics of faith is this. All, forsaking all, I trust him. Forsaking all, I trust him. Let me give you the last illustration. I'm done. There was a miner. His name was Colin Wintry. Mr. Wintry worked in a mining shaft. And all of a sudden, there was a young preacher that came in. He had a burden. He wanted to see people get saved. So he came in, started going around, started witnessing these old, rough miners. These miners, you know, they kind of shoved the boy off and didn't want to hear it. But this one guy said, well, if you're telling me God can save me and God will give me a blessing, I want it today. Man, big old robust man, sat down and heard this boy, young preacher, tell him how to be saved. He bowed his heart, received Christ as Savior. Young preacher comes back the next day and he found out that the mine, the shaft, had collapsed. They were bringing out bodies of the dead and they were laying them outside of the mine shack. And all of a sudden he went over and he saw the body of this man that received Christ the day before, but he wasn't quite dead. He was dying, but not quite dead. When he got saved in the mine shack, something tremendously happened. This was the biggest man. I mean, he was a robust man. He was big, big fella. Everybody's shoving that little boy aside. But when he got saved, all of a sudden he said, come here, listen. And many got saved that day. Only because the older man that got saved, big old fella, had influence. He's laying out there with all these other dead bodies and people that are dying, and he is one of them that's dying. When he got saved in the mind check the day before, he said, I got it! I got it! He's weak now. He's laying outside the mine shack. That boy comes back and he begins to go around. He sees him laying there. He says, come here. And that boy comes over as that old miner raises his hand. And he said, I just want to thank you for yesterday. Right before he died, he said, I got it. I got it. I don't know what God has for you in your life. But can I be honest with you? You're visiting this morning. God bless you. I thank God you're here. But whatever God has for you in your life, I hope that one day before you die, you can say, I got it. I got it. Whether it's Christ that you need this morning, or whether it's backslidden, you're out of the will of God, I hope one day you'll be able to say, even with a dying, outreached arm, you'll be able to say, I got it. I got it.
Thank you for joining us today. For more audio or video content, you can visit our website at pbcmesquite.org.